You're listening to Convenience Matters, brought to you by NACS. Whether it's for food, fuel, drinks, or snacks, about half of the U.S. population shops at a convenience store every day. We'll talk about what we see at stores and what the future may hold for our industry.
Anyone listening knows or can imagine that operating a convenience store is hard work. Operating several stores is exponentially more challenging. There are so many things to stay on top of in order to stay relevant to customers, employees, and to do so safely while complying to changing regulations, especially if stores are located in geographically diverse areas. Today, we're going to talk with one of the most seasoned operators in the industry who has tools, as well as an entire team available to help with some or all of these things in stores. I'm Carolyn Schneer with NACS.
And I'm Jeff Leonard with NACS. And before we get started, just want to say that a couple things are different, but you may not notice it. First off, we are recording from our home studios, but we still do have that same excellent quality that we usually have, both in terms of audio and in content. The other thing that we just want to mention is we're recording on April 21st. And the reason we mention that, we haven't traditionally, but we have over the last month or so, is that things have evolved in terms of dynamics related to retail, et cetera. And we wanted to put that out as context. So those are the two things I want to mention. And with that, I'd like to introduce our guest today, Roy Strasberger, president of Strass Global. Thanks for joining us today, Roy.
Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to be here.
And I've known you as long as I've been at NACS, which is more than 20 years, and heard your stories about the industry being a family business and hearing about, you know, the growth of international operations, the growth of domestic operations, how we've evolved as an industry. And even you've given me one of the best lines I've used for reporters in talking about where we are today with more pickup in grocery items. You said that our stores look more like they did 50 years ago. And people really like that line because it connects to telling about some of the things that we're seeing in our industry, which are new, haven't always been new. So tell us a little bit about some of the historical background that your company has in seeing things throughout the industry.
Well, my family's been in the retail business for over 80 years. We started off in the supermarket business and then moved into convenience stores in the 1960s. We own and operated a chain of stores throughout Texas up to 2012. And over the last 30 years, we have been providing contract operations and management services to companies who own retail locations but don't want to operate in themselves for some reason. And we've done that on a cumulative basis in about 33 different countries with 6,000 locations. So we have a wide range of geographic knowledge about convenience stores, as well as a long history in retail, in gasoline, in convenience, and basically in meeting the customer's demands.
And we know that every corner is different. There's a slightly different demographic or store count, or I'm sorry, customer count, things like that. But what are the big commonalities that you see across countries with all these operations in terms of how they can best perform?
Well, it's a bit of a cliche now, but what we really sell is time. And but the difference is that time means different things to different people, depending upon where you are. So being able to provide the services or the products or the entertainment that people are looking for in a quick and easy way is really what drives our business. And that can range from providing somebody with a fountain drink in the United States on demand to providing live fish in a market when we used to run stores in the Philippines. It really depends on what the customer is looking for.
Wow. When I said geographically diverse in the beginning of this episode, that's true. I had forgotten how really diverse that is in operations from Philippines to Texas. So when people come to you, Roy, and they're asking for help, so like you're looking for contract operations, you're helping them like do this, operate the store from maybe it's from HR perspective, from a clerk you know, employee perspective all the way to, you know, technology, if I'm correct, what are some of the things in the areas that, and this is before the old normal, before today's new normal at this time of the recording, what are some of the things that they needed the most help with and maybe some stories that go along with that?
Well, basically what we do is we can provide to a business owner everything that they need to run a professional convenience store, which includes the staffing, the back office accounting, store in-store marketing and merchandising, account payable, working with suppliers, HR, everything that we had as a company-owned, company-operated convenience store company, we make available to business owners, and we make it available to them on a per store basis. So if you're a smaller operator, but want a professional type program, we can sell you that at on a one store equivalent, as opposed to you having to set up a whole office to run one or two stores. So the main thing that we bring is a set of professional standards, professional operations, and an attention to detail that you really only find in the larger corporate-based convenience store companies.
And that's interesting because we've done some focus groups recently, NAX has, where we asked people, what do they think about convenience stores? What do they like? What don't they like? This was asked in February before things changed a little bit, but they said they like convenience stores because they are all about time, and dove a little bit deeper into which kind of stores do you like, what do you trust, et cetera. And granted, these are focus groups and they were very relatively limited, but one of the things that came out is there was a little bit more in the way of embrace of chains because they were a little bit more able to provide a unified operations. It wasn't this one's a little bit like this, this one's a little bit like this. There was more of a story associated with the brand that carried across different stores. And they said they liked that. Is that the type of thing that you've also seen when you've reached out to clients or when you've done any sort of talking to customers, that there is a certain brand awareness if in not just time, but in comfort associated with uniformity?
Well, I believe that what we can bring to the table is a hybrid of what you're talking about. We combined the uniformity of how a store is run, the day-to-day operations, the things that have to be done every day in a daily basis to create the whole platform of what customer service is all about. Clean stores, efficient service, products in stock, meeting the needs of the local neighborhood. We can do that on that basis. And then we combine that with the unique character of the store to tell that store's story, to tell that owner's story to the customer. So as opposed to us being a monolithic corporate chain, what we're doing is we're bringing all of the underlying support parts of a monolithic corporate chain, but keeping the unique characterizations of the stores to meet our owners, to meet the owner of the store's visions and what they want to be. The owners call all the shots to the business, what kind of products we sell, what it's called, what the pricing policy is, and how they want to be presented to the public. And we are responsible for making sure that they can meet those goals and meet those objectives.
And another part of that is looking at big picture operations. How do you set up the business for success? Maybe even looking at future generations, because I know that when you are talking to people in the industry, a lot of times you hear succession planning. How do you keep the business going if you want to step away from the business? And that is also something that you guys spend an awful lot of time looking at.
Well, it is. And coming from a family business background, I know how, shall we say, sensitive family relations can be when you're trying to wear both a family hat and a business hat. And we really kind of serve two types of clients in a broad spectrum. One is that we do a lot of work with corporate clients. So we work with major oil companies, major investment firms, and banks to provide them with the professional operations of their brands. And so they get consistency across their network. But on the other hand, we're running into more what we're calling generational change opportunities, where you have usually a set of parents who have spent most of their lives running one, two, or three convenience stores, running them very well. They've been successful. Their goal was to provide for their families and educate their children. So their children have gone on to become lawyers and doctors and accountants or tech people. And the parents are tired. They're ready to retire and ready to do something else. But none of the children want to get involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. The business is usually a good asset. It's making money. It's a successful business, but nobody really wants to take the day-to-day control of it. And so that's why they call us. We can come in and provide the day-to-day management under the direction of the family members as to what they want to accomplish and be responsible for that. So, for example, if we are running a store and using our staff, our employees, we're responsible for all the employee issues. So hiring and firing, sexual discrimination, harassment, those are our issues and not the store owner's issues. If we are selling restricted products like alcohol, tobacco, lottery, if we have a violation, that violation is on us and not on the owner of the business, because the permits are usually in our name. And finally, if we have excessive shrink or inventory loss at the store, we are responsible for that. So if we cannot control the store, we should be responsible on a fiduciary basis to the owners. And what that allows is that, first of all, it takes a lot of their headaches off the table, number one. Number two, we act as the implementer of their strategic ideas and visions. And number three, we act as a buffer amongst the family, because we are there to implement their ideas and they can sort them out themselves, as opposed to a family member being responsible and getting pulled one way or the other based upon other family members' decisions. We're the ones that get pulled one way or the other as the family tries to sort it out. And it makes seems to make dinner time conversations much more palatable when they get together.
I'd imagine Thanksgiving's a little more pleasant, huh?
Absolutely.
No flying turkey legs and whatnot. Well, that I can see is like incredibly helpful, because we've heard from numerous operators and numerous presentations and episodes that it seems like a little thing, but it can really just cause the most stress for an operator, or, you know, many operators, especially if they're related. So it sounds like it might even be like a peacekeeper in a way. And maybe these people all decide, you know what, that's great. You helped us here. We're going to take this back. This is a great company. I want to stay with it. I'm going to not close it down. I'm not going to go. We're going to make this thrive. We're going to grow it. But I have a feeling sometimes, even with all that, it goes the other way. Like very bad times, you know, like maybe there's bankruptcy or someone decides they really want to get out of it, whether it's like, you know, whatever happens after bankruptcy, like foreclosure, things like that. Now, is there, do you guys ever have to deal with that?
Fortunately, that's never happened while we've been operating a store. But part of our business is about working with financial institutions, bankruptcy courts, trustees, and folks in what we call distressed asset situations. These are people who've gotten back stores that they made loans on, or that have ended up in a divorce court, and they need somebody to operate them until they can be disposed of. And so they call us as a professional operator to come in and to run the stores, because our programs can be both long-term and short-term oriented. We run some stores only for maybe 60 to 90 days. Other stores we've been in now for 7 or 8 years, depending upon what our clients want. But to go back to the family business side of it, we have worked with families who have had a problem with their stores going down in sales, going down in profitability, and they ask us to come in and help operate them. And one of the things that we can do, in addition to bringing in a professional operating structure and accounting structure, is to bring in new ideas from other parts of the country and, in some cases, other parts of the world that we can do in their stores to try to increase sales, provide new opportunities and experiences for their customers. So although it may be one store located somewhere in the middle of Idaho, we can bring in experience from all of our operations across the country, whether it's New York, whether it's the West Coast, Texas. We've operated in almost all the states in the United States. As I mentioned earlier, we've operated overseas, and we can provide the backup and the resources to try to rejuvenate a business that's been struggling.
And of course, when we talk about struggles, you talk about what we've faced the last 6-8 weeks in terms of what's going on with the pandemic, in terms of mid-March to where we are now. But there's also an opportunity to have plans in place when you don't know what to expect. And there was a document that you shared with the industry. We saw it with some of the other trade publications publishing this as well. This resource, just kind of looking at, here's big picture, here's how you might want to set up communications, et cetera. And it really spoke to what we've seen in the industry as long as we've worked at NACS, that people share ideas. And this was just simply sharing ideas. If it works, great. Something we've learned. Can you kind of take us through some of those processes that you also look at? How do you look around corners that people may not know that there's a corner there that needs to be looked around?
Well, yeah, I think that's a really good question, Jeff. And what the COVID-19 situation has kind of pointed out for us and for a lot of our clients is that, once again, we have the resources and probably some depth of experience to help meet a crisis when it arises. And, you know, I would not be truthful if I said that we foresaw the COVID situation and had a plan in place for it, because I don't think anybody did. But we did have a set of contingency plans for other instances. And more importantly, what we had is a group of people on our management team who could recognize the situation, come up with solutions, and more importantly, implement them at the store level very quickly. And that is something that our smaller owners would not be able to come up with the ideas, or had not come up with the ideas, and something our larger clients have not been able to implement as quickly. So for some of the folks that we work with that were helping them with multiple sites and on in many states, we were able to implement our safety plans, our COVID protection programs, much faster than they were able to roll theirs out. And to a client and to every employee we have in their stores, everyone has been appreciative and thankful for our rapid response to a situation that no one could foresee and really hadn't planned for in any depth. And you mentioned the COVID response document that we put out. The reason that we circulated that around was because we had the opportunity to come up at least with a starting point of a plan. And in talking to my colleagues and peers in the industry, it was very evident that they did not have a plan or have an idea of what to do. And one of the great benefits of being in NACS is that you know people and you know how important it is to share information. And in this particular case, we are not competing with other convenience store companies. We are competing against the COVID virus. And that's the only person or the only thing that we need to be working against. And so it was up to, we felt it was part of our industry duty to try to share whatever information we had so that other people might be able to benefit from it and build upon it. So kind of to wrap that part up, I think that we bring to our clients a broader set of resources, a more in-depth experience, and probably a more rapid response feature than they could put together in their own companies.
So, Roy, I've done a lot of work in this area for NACS in the last, well, 2-3 years, not COVID related, obviously, but in terms of emergency planning and emergency preparedness. We have there are documents up on our website at communes.org on how to do that. But something I've found is some operators, big and small, are really good at looking ahead and planning for things. You know, hurricanes obviously are a major component that people look towards. You know, tornadoes you don't see as much, or you can't prepare for, you don't know they're coming as much. But, you know, this was something that I don't think anybody really thought pandemic-wise or bird flu or SARS or any of the things before this. But I think what I'm getting at is that there were some that were planning really hard, big and small. There were some big and small that were not. There was no emergency plan in place. And I've seen now from the downloads of our document that there are a lot more people looking to look ahead or at this point just get things working at this moment. But in terms of planning, is this something after this is all done, whenever that may be, that your company will also implement more in, or even if you hadn't already, more into your toolbox, essentially, for retailers?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, I personally think that this is the first or the most recent of many more of these type incidences to come, whether it's specifically COVID-related or some other type of crisis that we have to try to adapt to. And so what we're doing is continuing to modify our contingency plans, and we will be including our COVID response as part of that. And one of the things we're doing at the moment is we've kind of finished the emergency response, health and safety response phase of what we're doing. And we're now moving more into the sales creation, business creation side of it while maintaining our health and safety programs. But we're doing an evaluation of those health and safety programs to see where we fell short, see where we need to do better, and what we need to build upon for next time. So, for example, we are now stocking store detamination kits in a warehouse in Texas that if something happens in any type of virus or infection, we can ship out to the store overnight and allow them to decontaminate a store. We hadn't done it in that degree prior to 3 weeks ago, but now that's just going to be part of our standard operating program, and that's what we make available to anybody that we work with.
You started out by talking about your family's been in this business for 80 years, so obviously you are incredibly passionate about our industry. What specifically makes you so bullish about the convenience retailing industry?
Well, as you said, I've been in retail my whole life. My first real job was working in a convenience store at the ripe old age of 7 years old. Apparently, child labor laws were much more lax back then, so we could get away with that. But what has always fascinated me is the intersection of trying to having a customer who wants something and the providing of that product to them. And overlapping all of that is the magic of trying to convince a customer that they wanted to buy more than they actually thought they wanted to. So it's all about the psychology of retail and how that interacts, which really drives me, which I think is fascinating. But it's also in today's world, and especially now, even including around my household, it's going back to personal interaction because now we're getting more and more into home deliveries and online ordering and even contactless deliveries. But eventually, there is a social component to humans, and retail is probably only kind of second to restaurants and food service, where you get that interaction. And I just find this, the how people act and they interact to be endlessly fascinating.
Roy, it's always a joy to talk to you, and I know how to get in touch with you because you're just so great, and you answer me right away whenever I have like even silly questions about you know, retail or anything like that. But can you take a second and tell our listeners how they can learn more about you, about Strauss Global, about all your programs that you just shared with us?
Well, sure. The easiest way and the best way of finding out more about what we do and getting in contact with us is to visit our website at Strauss Global, STRASGLOBAL, StraussGlobal.com. And you'll see an overview of our program. You will also have, there's a, some information about what we do and how we do things, as well as how to get in contact with us. Go ahead.
I was going to say, is that COVID resources up there as well?
Yes, the COVID resource plan is up there as a section as well. And we've also have a section on our website that we have listed government and health service responses in all 50 states. So since we operate in multiple states, we put up plans where we could find out the latest government news, the latest state health news and state health programs for each of the states that we operate in, and then we decide to finish out the last few states that we didn't operate in. So if a retailer wanted to find out more about what they're, what's going on in their state, they can go through our website to do that as well.
Well, that's, I appreciate sharing that with us, because I think you guys, you have offer great services to the industry. You help all of us, all of our stores, the ones you work with, and even those that you're just helping us tell us some really good tidbits on this podcast, how to be the greatest industry that we can be, especially in these trying times. So, Roy, I really thank you for taking the time to be with Jeff and I today. And thank you for listening to Convenience Matters.
Convenience Matters is brought to you by NACS and produced in partnership with Human Factor. For more information, visit convenience.org.